Hello, everyone. I'm way overdue. I'm very tardy to the podcast party, but it is time for me to get into Cowboy Carter. Now, my Beyonce episodes that I did about Renaissance, those were some of my highest performing episodes that I've done in the podcast history. The, you know, Beehive, they don't F around, so shout out to the Beehive. Or shout out to anybody who came across it and was like, oh my God, this sucks, but I'm going to listen to it, even though it sucks. Whatever your opinions are, whatever is bringing you here, thank you for listening. Now, instead of me going through the entire album, song by song, lyric by lyric, I'm not going to do that. This album is incredibly long, and it's not for me as far as if I were to evaluate it in the totality of the record. There are skips for me. So when I think of an album that's for me, I think of something where there are no skips. And there are quite a few skips for me on Cowboy Carter, and I've been sitting with this record. I definitely took a few days to start listening to it, but I've listened to it repeatedly, and to the point where I feel that I can speak upon my fave tracks. And what's so funny is this record in particular, Cowboy Carter, I feel that it is so polarizing when it comes to people's opinions on it. So, of course, people in the Beehive or just people who are very overzealous about this project, they are claiming that this is Beyonce's best album. And multiple people have said that, you know, for Jay-Z to go up or to be on stage at the Grammys saying that Beyonce has never won an Album of the Year award, all the while he knew that this album was in the canon, that, you know, people are basically saying that this Cowboy Carter will for sure earn Beyonce a Album of the Year Grammy. We'll see. I mean, if everybody is kind of saying that's going to be the case, and if the Grammys feel pressured, they might not vote for her for that reason. They may feel forced into that, giving her Beyonce the Album of the Year for this. But anyways, what's so funny is you got your people who are saying this is Beyonce's best album, it's her best work. You got other people saying that they love tracks that I don't like. You have people saying they hate tracks that I do like. It's so polarizing. And honestly, I saw one of the people that I follow, she put her top five songs off of the album on her Twitter. And what's funny is all five of her songs have made my list. So that was comforting, but generally speaking, I don't expect anybody to agree with my list. That is the beauty of art. It is so, so, so. Woo! It is so objective. Cowboy Carter proves that. And it's funny how we give a lot of leeway to various art forms, music being one of them. Like, if somebody loves a song, we don't tell them it's a horrible song, necessarily. We just say, oh, that's not my vibe. But when it comes to comedy and stand-up comedy, if somebody doesn't find a comic funny, it's always, this person is not funny. It's never, oh, I don't find so-and-so funny. It's, no, that person is trash. And it is just odd how, when it comes to music and every other art form, we allow there to be a spectrum of opinions, and we don't just say that something is bad just because we don't like it. All we say is, it's not for me. Very, very fascinating. So, I'm going to get into my notes, and I'm kind of going to be a little bit old school in a way, because when I first started this podcast, something that is, like, incredibly embarrassing, like, beyond embarrassing, is I would type scripts for my episodes, and I would read those scripts. And one of the biggest problems, like, first of all, to be writing a script, typing it out, printing it, and I'd make edits. I was such a loser. I was making edits. Like, it was not like I was watching P-Valley, writing a script, printing it out, recording. No, it was a process. Like, in the early days, I was spending 40 hours a week on this podcast, and I would be, like, revising, making all these revisions to the script. Then I would read the script. I would be flubbing a lot of the words often, and I would either have to re-record a section of what I said or the entire thing. It was so sad, so embarrassing, so shameful. Like, it was bad. And it's so funny that I didn't even realize, like, how jarring that is to the listener. I just wasn't, you know, thinking about, I wasn't considering how jarring it would be to the listener to hear someone read. I'm only mentioning that because in my notes I'm going to be doing some reading, because I'm not going to be just off the cuff when I'm talking about this album. And when I did, when I talked about Renaissance, and like I said, those were high-performing episodes, I was reading again. Like, I have so many thoughts about this. I'm not going to be off the cuff with it. I'm not going to try and then go and listen back and find out that I forgot, like, 50% of what I wanted to say. I'm not doing that. So, anyways, now Beyoncé, the game changer, the innovator, the genre-bending perfectionist who loves a challenge and doesn't take long breaks from working on her craft and spreading joy throughout the world, this woman obviously is an icon, and she's one of the biggest living legends of living legends. I enjoy her music more and more with each project that she releases. She is that bitch. She is that girl, like she talks about in Renaissance. So you either enjoy Beyoncé or you have bad taste, as far as I'm concerned. Most people in general do have bad taste, but Beyoncé is the exception to the rule. I mean, I just feel that, let me put it this way. Her music is not going to vibe with everyone, but with the catalog that she has, especially when you include Cowboy Carter, a totally different genre, and I strongly believe the act through of the trilogy of the music that Beyoncé is putting out is going to be rock. But when you consider the fact that this woman has been in the business for decades and has so many hits and is now covering different genres or making music in different genres, I think it's like you would be hard pressed to find somebody who didn't like a Beyoncé song. Someone who wasn't Amish, someone who wasn't living under a rock, someone who just has been out in this world and has heard one of her songs at some point, even if it was her, you know, rendition of, you know, the national anthem when Obama was sworn in, her Super Bowl performance. Like, you know, many people should have been exposed to a Beyoncé song. And I just feel that as she continues to put work out, there has to be at least one song that resonates with somebody or that somebody really, really enjoys. So again, that's why I'm saying, like, if you do not like at least one Beyoncé song, you have very, very bad taste. Like, I feel sorry for you. Like, your ears are broken. So I feel like there should never be a debate about who is the more impactful artist when it comes to Beyoncé or Taylor Swift, because the public doesn't go up for Taylor like they do for Beyoncé. Not only is Beyoncé the celebrity's celebrity, but she drives conversation in a way that Taylor Swift hasn't, unless we're talking about the countless articles that are published about who Taylor is dating. Beyoncé also knows how to keep a secret. This woman single-handedly changed many industries with her surprise drop self-titled album. She snatches wigs for fun. And everyone pays attention to what she does because no one can do what Beyoncé does. What a damn legacy. Actually, I just thought of it right now. Beyoncé did the surprise drop of her album, which changed the game. Everybody else no longer wanted the pressure of talking about an upcoming release, and many people just started doing surprise drop albums all because of Beyonce. But I just thought about it right now, and I could be wrong, but I feel like I'm not. Beyonce let everybody know she was pregnant by showing her belly on the red carpet at the MTV Video Music Awards. Like, she is out here doing things differently and her own way, and then everybody else copies her. It's like, and then the amount of people who have shown, or sorry, let people know that they are pregnant by, you know, showing a baby bump on a red carpet. Beyonce did that shit first, right? I could be wrong, but I feel like she's the first. She obviously is the first with the album, surprise album drop, and I think she might have been the first with the baby bump. And, you know, I'm being off the cuff here, so don't, like, hold me to it. Like, I'm sure she's the first with many, many things. That is not what this episode is about, but I just thought about her on the red carpet as well. But anyways, moving right along, what a damn legacy, to the point where it's like, I mean, what are her kids going to do? Like, they have enormous shoes to fill. So I'm so glad that Beyonce is as obsessed with making music as her fans are to playing her songs on repeat and attending her expensive tours. She is clearly very in love with being an artist, and I see Beyonce doing this for a very long time, which is so exciting because she really, really seems to continue to put out incredible music. So I'm talking about my top 10 Cowboy Carter tracks, which, as I said, I don't know if anybody's going to agree with me. And that's the beauty of having an opinion and understanding that your opinion may not reflect and represent everyone else's. So at number 10, I have Tyrant. So the violin in this song is absolutely incredible. And these are some sexy as hell lyrics. I don't really remember how the song goes. Like, I kind of tried to replicate how the lyrics were sung in Renaissance, but I'm not familiar enough with Cowboy Carter to do that. But anyway, some of the lyrics are, when the sun goes down, can hear her body howl. Ow! Sorry for that side effect. I need to continue reading it. Sorry. When the sun goes down, can hear her body howl. I feel her eyeing me like the owls. Hide your man when the hangman comes in, when the hangman coming down. She's a tyrant. Every time I ride it, every time I ride it, make it look so good, try to justify it. Boy, you know they're looking for me. How we gonna hide it? Ride it like hydraulics. I am such a tyrant. Every time I ride it, every time I ride this, I don't like to sit up in the saddle, but I got it. Just relax, I got this. I got that exotic. Hips are so hypnotic. I am such a tyrant. Tap me on the shoulder when you reload the gun. That was so terrible. I mean, look at me trying to lose all my listeners on the 10th song. I know I can't sing. You know, my singing is so bad, I wish I could be compensated for how poorly I sing. Like, I'd be one of the wealthiest women in the country! Okay, so Tyrant is super sexy, and part of the reason why I put it at number 10 instead of higher on my list is because something that's exciting to me about Cowboy Carter is the uniqueness of certain songs versus Beyonce's previous albums. And Tyrant sounds like a lot, or Tyrant is a song that sounds as though it could be on pretty much every one of Beyonce's albums. And I like the songs on Cowboy Carter that are, where she really takes things in a different direction, especially her subject matter. So the sound, lyrics, and subject matter, where she's bringing us songs that are unlike any of the tracks on her previous albums. and Tyrant could fit in with, I believe, pretty much all of Beyonce's previous albums, and for that, or most of them, for that very reason, that's why I've given it a number 10 instead of ranked it higher. But Cowboy Carter is a sexy album, and similar to all of the work that Beyonce's been, or different songs on the albums that Beyonce has been putting out in her previous albums, they're all very sexy, very, very grown folks business, and I'm here for it. Why does she don't need to pander to kids like Taylor Swift does. You know, Taylor Swift really loves to look youthful. Taylor Swift is 34 years old, and she loves to, like, dress like she's in high school or college and, you know, kind of pretend to be innocent when, you know, she is riding Travis Kelce into the sunset and vice versa. And she out here, she really out here in these streets. So it's like, I don't really, I'm not really into somebody being older, engaging in adult behavior, but yet kind of trying to be super cutesy to appeal to like 5-year-olds. And I love that Beyonce has not done that. And by the way, Swifties, don't come for me. I'm a Swiftie. I'm just saying that Taylor Swift does, you know, I think she does really care about holding on to her youthful fan base. And I could be wrong. Maybe her next album, which is about to drop, could be very grown up and very adult. I know she's, you know, dipping into that a little bit, and she's certainly cursing on her albums, which she never did before. But it has yet to be seen if she will really fully embrace her age and her, the age of her peers and represent that in her public persona, or if she'll kind of just try to remain playing coy and innocent. Next, I got, sorry for that Taylor content, but whatever, I'm keeping it in. Next, number 9, I have Two Most Wanted. I enjoy this song, but I didn't feel like it should be ranked too high on within my top 10, and I've obviously really thought about the placement of all of these songs. I didn't just try to make a list. And so with Miley Cyrus, I don't go up for this song as much as some people do, but I'm not going to hold you. Miley Cyrus has a stunning, deep, powerful, emotional sounding voice. It was made for songs like Two Most Wanted. Now, Beyonce's voice is also deep as hell, and their voices together harmonize nicely. I like that Beyonce wanted to collaborate with so many people on this project, on this record, and Miley album, as in Cowboy Carter. So Miley sounds good on this song. This song is an instant classic. It is truly timeless. It is a gorgeous, romantic little ballad. Like, it is beautiful. I love it. It's so moving. It's songs like Two Most Wanted that could easily turn people who say that they hate country music into country fans. I think that song is this likable and has that much of a crossover effect. Two Most Wanted is an absolute winner. I really enjoy it, but I just don't enjoy it as far as like a top 5 for me, but I'm so glad that it's on this record because it is one of my faves. As I said, I have Two Most Wanted with Miley Cyrus and number 9. Next, I got number 8. Number 8, I have Daughter. So, not since Ring the Alarm has Beyonce let us know she's not finna play with y'all. It sounds like she's a murderous bitch in Daughter with lyrics like, I really tried to stay cool, but your arrogance disturbed my solitude. Now I ripped your dress and you're all black and blue. Look what you made me do. I am colder than Titanic water. The whole Titanic water line, it's one of those where you hear it you hear it once and it's forever imprinted, like embedded in your brain. I think it's so genius. I love it because it's well known that water was really, really cold. So it's just perfect because it's not corny. It's like, oh shit, she is cold. If she's cold as Titanic water. I love it when people have the perfect example, and that's what mentioning Titanic water is. It's absolutely perfect. It works. And I love an unhinged Beyonce. Through throw in some opera singing in Italian. I'm about positive it's Italian. And I'm officially hooked. I would love for Beyonce to put out an Italian opera album because I personally love listening to music in different languages, and opera obviously is in that realm. I love her creativity and that she doesn't want to be boxed in. Beyonce is always making her own damn lane. It is fascinating to witness what she produces because she's such a perfectionist and a career vocalist. She will continue to surprise us with her genres, her lyrics, and apparently her languages and styles. What a gift. What a time to be alive. So she always wants to top herself, and she usually always does. Miss Cowboy Carter has all hits, no misses, period. I'm talking about her albums. I'm not talking about the songs, all of her songs that she's released. But when it comes to an album, Beyonce has had all hits, no misses. Don't try me. Don't even question that fact. Ranking at number 7, I have Bodyguard. I love this country song. It's pretty perfect. I love Beyonce wailing on this track. Bodyguard is unique, which I just discussed when I talked about how Tyrant sounds like it could be placed in any of her albums. Bodyguard is very unique, and it is a sexy, subtle love letter. You know, the lyrics are very, very sexy, but they're subtle, and you just gotta pay attention, and it's hot. And I love the line where she says, "Sometimes I take the day off just to turn you on." That is genius. Absence makes the heart hornier. And I have quite a few lyrics to this song that I printed out, and I just decided I'm not going to torture y'all. I'm not going to do that. Like, the vocal ability, the singing ability with me does not exist, clearly. So I'm not going to make your ears bleed right now. I may go the Renaissance route where I talk about my, or I do an episode about my favorite lyrics, but for right now, and especially with the fact that I'm unfamiliar with how she's singing a lot of these lyrics, they aren't memorized in my brain yet, her delivery. So I'm not going to read/sing the Bodyguard lyrics, but it is number 7, a wonderful country song, unique as hell. Sign me up. What is so fascinating is I want to see the Cowboy Carter tour. And one of the reasons why I want to see the Cowboy Carter tour is because, as I said before, like, Beyonce's catalog is damn near impeccable. It is untouchable. So to see her performing songs from Cowboy Carter, Renaissance, and her other albums on one tour, like, my wig has already been snatched. My edges have already been smoothed out, like, gone, as in they are, the strands fell out. Like, I want to see this, because her catalog just keeps getting better, and Bodyguard is that girl. It is a wonderful song. Next, at number 6, I got Protector. So, with exception to her intense work schedule, Beyonce does kind of sound like the mother of our dreams. This is one of her most beautiful songs, and all great mothers must feel exactly what she is singing about in this song, wanting to protect and be there for their kids, all the while knowing that their children are growing up to be their own adult selves over time. So, helicopter parents, stand back, get out the way. You can support your kids and love them and love on them while also giving them space to explore and grow. The vocals are really, really gorgeous on Protector. Beyonce knows how to sing an emotional song. Like, she has a voice that really lends it to emotional songs, and she executes emotional lyrics. Absolutely beautiful. Her songs are so moving. She can conquer so many styles effortlessly. I mean, Beyonce, a lot of her stans are unwell. I say it all the time whenever I'm mentioning Beyonce fans on this podcast, but it doesn't mean that a lot of the fanfare is not legitimately warranted. This woman really is so, so gifted, and part of the reason why Beyonce is so good is because she has invested so much time and energy into her craft. You don't become Beyonce overnight. It started with her dad, who was kind of like Joe Jackson adjacent as far as making Beyonce and Kelly Rowland and the other members of Destiny's Child work really hard, and clearly it's paid off. And I'm saying, like, Beyonce obviously is so, so invested into putting together really strong projects, and you don't get to a point where you can deliver such a moving and beautiful song like Protector without having put a lot of work into your craft and just learning how to sing with so much emotion just pouring out of your throat and into our ear holes. Love Protector. So next, at number five, I have Jolene. So I don't love, it's so funny because I'm reading my notes and what I'm saying is totally contradicting what I just said, which is hysterical, but hang in there. I don't love Beyonce's voice on this song at times. That is my only complaint. I think that she kind of sounds a little strained and hoarsed adjacent sometimes in Jolene. However, I've always been a huge fan of Dolly Parton's Jolene, and I've loved most covers of this song because I believe it is the perfect song. So Beyonce made it her own, as I discussed in my previous episode about the haters, which is one of the reasons why I have to stand Beyonce's rendition of Jolene. The way that some people adore Beyonce's version and others hate it is why, as I said at the top of the episode, we all should relax when someone doesn't like the same things that we do. It isn't personal. Not everyone has good taste. I'm reading my notes, and it's like, I already said that at the beginning. That's why I think it's funny. So, I love how Beyonce says, Jolene, I know I'm a queen, Jolene. That was one of my favorite lines. I'm still a Creole Banji bitch from Louisiana. Yes, you are, girl. Yes, you are. And here I am, kind of trying to sing when I said I wouldn't. There's a thousand girls in every room that act as desperate as you do. You a bird, go on and sing your tune, Jolene. I had to have this talk with you because I hate to have to act a fool. Your peace depends on how you move, Jolene. I love the song Jolene. I'm talking about the original. I already said I love a lot of the covers of it. I'm just a fan of the song, so I'm bringing a lot of bias into this when I'm here to rank my favorite tracks. So I'm just a fan of the song. And so some of the songs that I've listened to on repeat off of Cowboy Carter, and this is in no particular order, but they are Jolene, Riverdance, Yaya, Texas Hold'em, Levi's Jeans. Those are the ones that I could just be like straight up on repeat vibing, straight vibing. moving on, I got Riverdance. So in a way, Riverdance is kind of similar to, Beyonce's song 7-Eleven. Isn't that the title of the song? Or 7-1-1, where Beyonce really, she don't gotta say much at all to create a magically very addictive hit song. So I listened to Riverdance like I was paid, partially because of the simplicity of hearing bounce on that shit dance, bounce on that shit dance, bounce on that shit dance, bounce on that shit no hands. I don't know what any of that means, but I'm down. Because the beat pulls me in. And this song is also where Beyonce's deep voice works very, very well. Bounce on the shit dance.
bounce on this and dance. Like, imagine having, like, a high-pitched voice and you're like, bounce on that shit, dance. Bounce on that shit, dance. Bounce on that shit, dance. Bounce on that shit, no hands. Like, you would sound like a clown. Just like how I sounded, but Beyonce's deep-ass voice was like, yes, girl, I'm bouncing. Because you told me to. So, yeah, Riverdance is number 4. Next, I got number 3, Yeah. Like, my dumb ass is trying to remember. I go, yeah. Okay, there we go. Yeah. Okay, so yeah is the reason why I want to see this tour. Like, yeah is the reason I want to go up for this song. So this song, it stays on damn repeat for me, and it puts me in a great mood. I think that I'm a country-ass bitch now when I listen to Yaya. And Beyonce has accomplished her goal of putting out a very solid country album that is genre-bending, non-industry conforming, body of work that will appeal to the masses, because there's nothing she cannot do musically. At least in the work that she's put out. So Yaya also reminds me of some of Destiny's Child's earliest songs, where they featured so much repetition in the choruses to get in your head and make it catchy and memorable and addictive. This is a very good song, and I am so glad that Beyonce chose it because, you know, as she said, she recorded 100 songs for this record. I really hope that this bitch will put out everything she's recorded. Like, I am so sick of Beyonce talking about how many songs she records for her albums. Like, bitch, shut the fuck up or release them. Thanks! Okay, so Yaya, it is number 3 for a reason. It is one of my favorite Beyonce songs. It's just the vibes. Oh, man. I'm telling you, like, I really gotta throw straight up Beyonce party. Like, a party with only Beyonce tracks. Yaya would be included, hands down, end of story. It's so fun. Like, I want to shake my ass to it right now, just talking about it. Okay, at number 2, I put Texas Hold'em. Now, I know that's very high on this list. Not everybody was a fan of Texas Hold'em. That's great. Everybody is allowed to like what they like in this wonderful country of ours where we are able to choose what we like. So, Texas Hold'em, I kind of feel like the lone wolf on this one with it being my second favorite song. But I love how country it is. And it's also sexy. And that I gave Texas Hold'em the number 2 slot because, as I mentioned earlier, I'm, you know, really into the songs that sound country and different than what she's put out before. I love how she delivers her flirtatious lyrics. Like, it's kind of misleading because she's talking about dancing, but it's also super sexy if you pay attention to what she's really saying. As I've said, her lyrics are becoming more suggestive, and I am here for it. So this song, I think, is very addictive. I have listened to it on repeat several times. It's one of my faves, and I didn't gravitate towards it. I wasn't really, like, I put on Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages, and I was like, eh, and then I came back to them later, and I really, really love Texas Hold'em. So I had to coax myself into giving her new singles a chance because, you know, country music, I don't really have country albums. I don't watch the CMTs. Like, it's not something that I've really pursued and indulged in much. And that's why this is so incredible. Beyonce putting this album out and putting on so many different artists, like, their streams have really, really, really catapulted the people who have been a part of this project. Spotify put out a slideshow, a carousel, a post on Instagram just about how many streams all these artists are now getting. Shout out to Beyonce for really wanting or helping a lot of artists and musicians and producers and all that to be discovered. So, like I said, I wasn't, like,
in any hurry to be listening to these country songs. And once I gave Texas Hold'em a chance, a genuine chance, I just became hooked. So at number one on my list of my top 10 Cowboy Carter tracks, I got Levi's Jeans, Bitches. If you don't roll with Levi's Jeans, get out my house, because this is the song I will be putting on. If I'm going to be having sex with you, I will be putting this song on, okay? So how come so many people did not know that Post Malone could sing? Like, where have y'all been? Post Malone has always been a singer ever since his career began. Like, I feel like he was on some Drake shit, like rapping and singing. His voice sounds gorgeous on this sexy song, and I'm already upset that I have not made love to this song yet. But anyways, what's so fun about Beyonce is that she continues to make more adult content. And we never know where she's going to take her music or who she's going to collaborate with. This song is sexy. And you know what? Honestly, people with no ass should not sing this song. Like, this song does not apply to you. You don't look good in no jeans at all. But it's still a great track. I gave Levi's Jeans the number one slot on the album because of how this song makes me turn up and want to smash every single time that I hear it. It is absolutely beautiful. Beyonce brought so much creativity to this damn Cowboy Carter album. Who knew that a song about jeans can make you want to fuck, quote, all night long, as Post says, but here we are because of Beyonce. So those are my top 10. That my top 10 is my review of this record, because I am not a music historian and I am not the person who is supposed to give any type of deep dive into all of the work and the features and the collaboration that is, and the musicality and the sonic sounds and everything that has gone into this album. I'm not the person to be speaking on it. And I also, instead of me like kind of talking about my skips on the album or whatever, I just wanted to talk about my top 10 tracks. So I hope you enjoyed this, and I'm sorry I'm a little late to the podcasting party, but I'm doing my best. And I'm inching towards having more time to record the podcast in the next few months. So love you guys so much. Please remember to share this episode, so maybe it'll do just as well as my Beyonce episodes about Renaissance. Anyways, love you guys, and I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.